Today the passage I'm going to read is from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to the end of the chapter, which is 22 to 32. Now he arose that same night and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and he sent across whatever he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. Therefore, to this day, the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip. It's the reading of God's word.
Well, Happy New Year. God has brought us faithfully through the year 2020 and now into a new year, and he's going to be faithful there too. Although we've had some, you know, unexpected things and adjustments, it's great to see that the life of the church, we keep going, don't we? Like a Stigand Moulton wedding, or our prayer time, prayer week this week, or our Christian education ministry. Yes, it maybe is a little, looks a little differently than times before, but God is still with us, and we look forward to all that he's going to do. In seventh grade, I was on the wrestling team. I wasn't that good. I was kind of all arms and legs. But wrestling is an interesting sport. It's a team sport, but the competitions are one-on-one, the matches. And the way it works, if you're not that familiar, you wrestle somebody your weight. So in seventh grade, I wrestled 95 pounds. Eighth grade, I wrestled 105 pounds, the next class up or whatever. And that was, those 2 years, that was the all my wrestling career, that was it. That's all I was on the team. In college, we had a really good wrestling team, and people liked to go to the wrestling matches with me because I could explain sort of what was going on. What, they're not just flopping around on the mat. They're trying to do things. There's points. How does it work? You know. And well, today's story is about a wrestling match between a man and God. And it's not just a physical encounter. It's really a spiritual encounter. There's 25 chapters in the book of Genesis that cover the life of this one man, Jacob. Obviously, we don't have time to look at that or even review that. We're just looking at one slice here of when Jacob wrestles with God. So, let me set the stage. In one corner, you have Jacob, or Jake the Snake. He was kind of a dirty wrestler. In the other corner is God. He's the champion. He knows all of Jake's moves, and he has some moves of his own. And even though it's Jacob and God, We could easily sort of see ourselves in the story, can't we? I thought it would fit well, as I'm glad we have this tradition of starting every year, the new year, with an emphasis on prayer. Probably many of us are wrestling with God about something, right? Some issue, something going on in our life. God wants you to do something, but you're not quite sure if you want to do it. Or you're struggling with what's going on in the world these days, and God wants you to stay faithful and committed to Him, but you're not always sure what that's like, and maybe it's uncomfortable. Maybe God wants you to do something specific, and you're not quite sure if you want to do it. Many evangelical churches are concerned for Christians and they're just the life of the church. This is last almost a year now. It's been different. And perhaps we've gotten lax in our worship or in our fellowship and time together as a church body. And I get it. There's obviously legitimate medical and other health reasons to, kind of stay home and worship from home or whatever. But we don't want to use that as an excuse to not be involved and not be connected with each other. And it may take on a little different form. I get that. Well, there's lots of issues. Let's look at Jacob and what his story and some of his issues and factors are going on. And I've broken it down just into four short little scenes with four words. And here's the first one. A crisis. Jacob knew that he was facing a situation beyond his control. And he wasn't quite sure what to do. His brother Esau was coming, but not alone. Esau had 400 men with him. And earlier in the chapter, Jacob has already prayed and asked God for help. And he thought, oh boy, this is not so good. He sends all his stuff, all his flocks and animals ahead. He sends his whole family ahead, right? His wives, his children. And Jacob is now in the dark, all alone. Until suddenly, out of the darkness, a hand grabs him. And they start wrestling. Can't see who it is. Don't know who it is. Is this just some wandering bandit trying to rob him? Is this an assassin sent by his brother Esau to just kill him? He doesn't know. We're going to soon find out, as Jacob will too, that he's really wrestling with God. Now, why is he wrestling with God? Yes, it's this specific instance, but there's a whole host of events and issues in the past that have led up to that, just like in our life. So he's wrestling God about his past. He stole, if you remember, he stole his father's blessing from Esau. And after he did that, he feared for his life. So he took off. He left home. He hasn't seen his brother Esau for 20 years. He's been a man on the run. And part of the issue, too, that he's wrestling with God was all over power. That's what this thing was with Jacob and his brother Esau when he stole first his birthright, then his blessing. Control and power. And God wants to have control over Jacob's life, but for all of these years, Jacob's been wrestling for control. He wants to be in charge. And now he's kind of come face to face with that and thinking, perhaps even about wrestling a bit with his purpose. Okay, I've been on the run for 20 years. God promised to bless me. I haven't seen it. Is that still an option? Is God still at work? What's my purpose? I'm kind of wandering. God, do you have some direction for my life? So all of those things he's going to wrestle God about. Well, that's Jacob wrestling. What do we wrestle with God about? Probably a lot of those same issues, right? Some things we just can't seem to let go of. Or maybe there's some habits or patterns of behavior or attitudes or addictions that, well, we just can't seem to shake. The biggest battle in your life is not a physical battle like this physical wrestling match. It's not a financial, it's not a relationship, it's a spiritual battle between you and God. Now, God's on your side, he wants the best for you. The problem is, it's sort of a battle of wills. We want what we want. We want to be the center of our life. God says, no, I want to be the center of your life. And so we wrestle and feel that tension back and forth. Well, oftentimes, when God wants to get your attention, a crisis will come up, won't it? He puts us in a frustrating situation that's completely beyond our control. We can't win. And the more we struggle and wrestle, the more tired and exhausted we get. And so God sometimes puts us in unpleasant situations like that. So if you're experiencing something like that, a difficulty right now, God may be ready to do some work in your life, some transformation. So it starts with a crisis. Well, what do we do next? Well, here's my word, commitment. Commitment to what? When God brings a crisis into your life, usually he's not going to just resolve it immediately. Because stepping back or pulling the curtain open or looking below the surface, whatever metaphor you want to use, there's more to the story than just the immediate crisis. God's dealing with us. There's some issues that he wants to point out. There's some things that need attention. And now that God's got our attention, he wants us to commit. Well, what commit to what? Let's see. When the man saw that he didn't prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint. Interesting. All God had to do is simply touch it, and it's out of joint. Jacob is brought to the end of his resources. The same thing happens to us. Now, God doesn't usually physically do that with us. Sometimes he does. But he brings us to the end of ourselves, right? Think back. Have you ever had your life sort of put out of joint by God? Where your little plans were sort of dislocated? Yeah, we have, haven't we? I know, I have too. Suddenly God uses a sickness or a loss of a job or some disappointment in your life. And he uses it to bring us to the end of ourselves, and we have to turn to God. Now, I want to be careful. Not every sickness or loss or whatever like that means we're out of the will of God. But oftentimes God uses that to get our attention, and he's going to see our commitment. Now, you'd think if your hip is dislocated that you would stop wrestling. You'd think the match would be over. But he still clings to God. Let me go. I will not let you go until you bless me. He's wrestled all night long. That's a long wrestling match. In high school, a wrestling match is 6 minutes. In college, it's 7 minutes. And it's an all-out effort. In fact, if you kind of sort of let up and sort of quit wrestling, they call that stalling. And first you're warned, and then the second time there's points awarded to your opponent because you're not wrestling. Well, I've never done this, but what's it like to wrestle when your hip is dislocated? Got to be pretty difficult. I never had my hip dislocated. I have had my shoulder dislocated. Playing broomball, it was a church event, actually. Playing broomball outside, and I fell on the ice. And as soon as I fell, they knew, uh-oh, something happened. What, your knee, your head? No. And I don't know. And well, fortunately, on my team was an ER doctor and a fireman and a physical therapist, or a chiropractor. Mark was a chiropractor. Well, they all kind of jumped into action, and the ER doctor said, well, I don't like what. Let's walk back over to the host. Let's walk back over to Rick's house, and let's take a look. So my brain said, well, lift up your arm so you can take off your coat. But my arm didn't work. It just hung there. And I got to tell you, it hurt a little bit. Hurt a lot, actually. And I won't go into all the details, but basically the doctor said, Rick, you and Dave hold Greg in the chair and I'll pop it back into place. Which he did. But I get it. If you're out of joint and you can't do anything more. That's Jacob. He's holding on to God for dear life. He eventually has to surrender. He couldn't wrestle anymore. Your legs, in wrestling, you really use your legs a lot. He can't even stand up, probably. He's got to lean his entire weight on God. That happens to us sometimes too, doesn't it? So if you're in a crisis right now, don't give up. You're going to cling to God. Say, God, I can't do this. I need you. I need your grace and your mercy and your power and your wisdom, whatever it is the situation calls for. God, I'm committed to doing that. In fact, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I can't do it myself. God, I really need for you to intervene. So that's why I call this commitment. Well, let's keep going. Whoop, I jumped. To confession. Confess means to agree with God. Okay, God, this is how it is. This is the truth. What do we confess? It's interesting. God asks him, well, what's your name? He answers, well, Jacob. Well, what's that all about? He's really acknowledging his nature. God asked the question not to get information. He knew Jacob's name. But the name Jacob means supplanter, schemer, deceiver, one who grabs from behind. Jacob's whole life could be characterized by this word wrestle. He has wrestled with his brother, not physically, but he's wrestled and deceived and struggled with his relationship with his brother Esau, with his father Isaac. He eventually gets married and has trouble with his father-in-law Laban. And he keeps wrestling. So when God says, well, what's your name? Ask him that. He's kind of challenging that, Jacob. Are you going to continue living up to your name? Are you still going to be deceiver and schemer? Deceiving yourself, deceiving other people? Is that how you're going to keep living? Or are you going to let me change you? Are you going to let me work in your life? For you and I to grow in our relationship with God, We need to acknowledge our nature and the real problems. It's not Esau, it's not Laban, it's something in us that God is wrestling with us about. God says, I'm wrestling you to bring about this change, and the manipulation and the scheming and your lowly efforts, that's got to stop. So acknowledge your nature. That's how you are, and acknowledge your need. Jacob, you don't have to scheme and manipulate to try and get God's blessing. In fact, that's kind of what's gotten you into this mess in the first place. I'm trying to change the way you do things. God is dealing with Jacob's self-sufficiency. He's wearing him down and teaching him that he needs to rely on the Lord. It's the same lesson for us, right? And we're never going to change unless we acknowledge sort of our weaknesses and our sinful habits and patterns and that, God, I really do need you. That's what it means to confess. Now, remember, all of this is happening in the dark, privately, alone. Nobody sees this. Nobody sees it going on in your life, the process. But what they will see is the results of when you trust in God. You're fully relying on God. That's the commitment. And now the confession. Yes, God, I really do need you. And finally, one more. Change. I want to be clear about this passage. And I kind of wrestled, pun intended, I guess, there, wrestled with this. You know, what's really going on here? I think years ago, I thought of it as Jacob wrestling with God until God just sort of was bugged and sort of relented. He was sort of, you know, reluctant. And Jacob just kind of kept after him, and God finally said, okay, I'll bless you. That's not the story. That's not the lesson here. God had always intended to bless Jacob. This is God taking Jacob through a process of prayer. Remember who started this wrestling match? It was God, not Jacob. God was the one that initiated this and kept at it until Jacob had learned what he needed to learn. Well, certainly Jacob didn't see the bigger picture of that. Really, this was sort of a parable of his whole life. But now his life's going to be changed. Let's look. God's going to give him a new name and character. Right? Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, deceiver, no, but Israel, strives with God. You've an explanation. You've striven with God, with men, and have prevailed. Right? This man, Jacob, is going to become the father of Israel. He had 12 sons, become the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, the Bible is very realistic. Sometimes this guy reverts back to the Jacob way of doing things. And in the book of Genesis, they'll call him Jacob. Other times, he greatly trusts God, and God works, and they call him Israel. It's the same way for us, right? Sometimes we do exactly what God wants us to do. But then other times, we sort of fall back into our old ways, don't we? And we don't trust God fully. And we try and do things ourselves. And we think it all depends on me. And we kind of go back and forth. But God says, Jacob, I'm going to do a new thing here. I'm changing who you are, your identity, your character. He also has a new relationship with God. He's going to ask him his name. This wrestler asked Jacob what his name was. Now it's kind of back. Why you ask my name? You want to know who it was? The prophet Hosea comments on this story in his book in Hosea and calls this wrestler an angel, specifically the angel of God. Jacob recognizes him as God, right? Verse 30. I'm calling this special place where we wrestled Peniel, because meaning face of God, because I've seen God face to face, and I wasn't killed. I was spared. He knows that this is God. He now knows it. Theologians call the appearance of God in the flesh, like in a human form, a theophany. And many scholars call this a Christophany, that is, an appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. I mean, what person of the Trinity would be best suited to appear in human form but Jesus? Well, Jacob realizes, I've been wrestling with God. There's something supernatural about him. He just touched my hip and now I'm lame and crippled. And I'm going to hold on till you bless me. He's a different person. And he's got a new way of walking. Jacob's going to limp for the rest of his life. But he would do so in the strength of God. You and I, we need a new way to walk, to live out our Christian life with reliance on God. And God wants to do that for us. And God's individually teaching us and developing and growing that in us, isn't he? So our God-given limp, it's really not a handicap. It's a blessing. It's a reminder. No, we can't do this on our own. And God's power, I'll take a verse from 2 Corinthians, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So there we go. Wrestling with God. Crisis, a commitment, a confession, and a change. You know, God has great blessings and promises and ministries and great things he wants to do. But we can miss them if we're not careful. They need to be received from God. And if we're just doing it on our own, it's going to be a struggle. So maybe there's things that we're running from, like Jacob ran from, problems or difficulties. Or maybe there's people in the past, in your past, that you've hurt and you need to be reconciled with. And we won't go there, but if you read the next chapter, Jacob was afraid of meeting Esau, thought, this is it, I'm dead. No, Esau had forgiven Jacob, and he welcomed him with open arms, and it was a great reunion. And God had worked it out, even before Jacob knew any of it. So maybe there's things in your past, or even in your present right now, that God wants you to surrender. God, I can't do this. I really need you to work. And you... I'll look for that. I'll trust that. And I'll give you glory and thanks for when it happens. Maybe some of us have been all our life that's been a pattern of scheming and deceiving and worrying about God's blessing. Let me tell you, it's not going to come from that. It's going to come when we submit. Winning the blessing comes by losing to God. And you give up. You say, okay, God, you win. That's what wrestling with God is all about. Let me pray for us. Father, you do say that you are doing new things. You're making us new people. But we need your help, Lord. So help us to trust you, to fix our eyes on you, instead of dwelling on our past or on what we can do or what we can't do. Help us just to surrender to you and trust you. Wean us from our self-reliance and build our trust in you. And we are quick to give you all the honor and glory and praise. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you. And in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Our closing song is pretty appropriate. It's entitled Broken Vessels. Let's stand and sing that together. I'm going to close with this doxology from the last verses in the book of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Who? To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.